This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 272 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, it's all about the trip reports. As you've been hearing the last couple weeks, Jimmy and Morgan have been down in Disney World, and they're back from their trips, and we're going to hear all about it. Hey Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic, other than a little Disney withdrawal.
Sure, we all go through that. How about you, Morgan? How you doing?
My Disney withdrawal is still a little fresh, so I'm almost in the same boat as Jimmy.
You're hanging in there, huh, Morgan?
Yeah, well, I've been home less days than you have.
Oh, no doubt. You're fresh in the Disney depression. I get
yes.
it.
Yes.
Morgan's been home like a day and a half.
Pretty much, yep.
Okay, well, I tell you what, guys. Let's start out really with the basics. Jimmy, what was your trip as far as time-wise, and where'd you stay?
We flew down late on Thursday evening, so Thursday wasn't really a park day. We got to the resort probably about midnight, and we stayed at Art of Animation and a Little Mermaid room, and we stayed till Tuesday. We flew out about 4:30. I think we flew out, so we left Disney Springs about 2 o'clock and took an Uber to the airport.
Nice. How about you, Morgan? What was your stats?
I came down Saturday. I think I mentioned before, but I drove. I stayed for a full week. So I did Saturday to Saturday. First night I actually stayed at one of the Hiltons at Disney Springs. And the rest of the week I stayed at the Contemporary.
You lucky.
Wow, nice. Did you stay at the motel or in the A-frame?
I stayed in the Garden Wing. For the record, the only reason why I stay at the Contemporary is I tagged along with my mother, who was doing a Disney Institute conference.
Okay, so was that where they were all staying at the Contemporary, or you just lucked out and you were over there?
Yep, the conference was actually at the Contemporary, so of course we stayed where the conference was just to make it easier for Mom to get up early and get to the conference every morning.
Oh, very cool. Very nice. So you definitely had some different plans, I'm sure, based on that, a couple of days versus the full week. How many days were you guys like able to kind of do stuff together?
We didn't do anything together.
Yeah, we were ships passing in the night.
We did run into each other a couple times. You know, we were in studios the same day, and Morgan came sit over and just chatted with us for a while, and then for some weird reason we hopped over to Epcot and Morgan was there at the International Gateway. I think she was stalking me.
No, I was ahead in the line, so you were stalking me.
Yeah, but we stopped and talked.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was had food brain. Jimmy had, you know, Rose and Crown brain. So we parted ways.
Okay, guys. Well, tell me, what was on this trip something that really stood out? Basically, we go to Disney enough that some of the things that are kind of the old reliable stay old reliable. But this time around, what was different?
I think so. One of the biggest things for me was this is the third year I've gotten to go to the Epcot International Festival of the Arts, and I've gone every year since they started, and I love it. It's become one of my favorite and this year I decided to make a decent sized purchase, and I bought a piece of art from Mr. Kevin John, who was on with us just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He had two new pieces that he was releasing for the Festival of the Arts. One was a Tower of Terror piece, and the other one, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like Down the Lazy River or something like that, or Up the Lazy River, and it's a scenic piece with Big Thunder Mountain on the background in the left, and then the waterway, and then has the Mark Twain riverboat kind of in the middle.
Okay. Did that have the Haunted Mansion on it too? Did it like go all the way across, or?
No, it does not. It kind of on the right hand side. It's kind of just a wooded scene, mm-hmm. and then it's the riverboat kind of in the center, and then Big Thunder on the left.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now I tell you what, guys. Show number 271. We took Jimmy's video. He did that live a couple weeks ago, the live streaming. So we had that entire interview last week on 271. And Kevin John was talking about this exact picture, and it was really cool kind of hear the whole process of coming up with an idea to actually going through Disney and then actually having it produced.
And one of the cool things, and look, I didn't necessarily have the intention of buying the piece of art when I was headed down, and then while we were there, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. So, you know, I talked to Kim, and I bought the framed Giclée, and they're limited edition, so I got number 6 of 95 prints.
Cool.
And they come framed, and before they frame it, you know, it's it's a print, so it's already got his signature on it, but then before they frame it, he signs it again above the printed signature. And then the other thing was that when you buy it, and he's like, because I get to meet him there in person, and he personalized the whole back of it, even took the time and drew with Sharpie kind of the same picture, kind of, you know, Big Thunder Mountain with the steamboat and then some in the water.
Very cool. Now, I saw pictures of that. Did you get any video of him actually doing that?
I didn't get any video. I did take a couple pictures during the process. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, he personalized it and said, "To the Horned family, all aboard. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness, Captain John, 2019, with a little Mickey head."
Very nice. Tough thing about that is which side do you display?
I think I'm going to just keep, you know, display the front and just know that the other part's behind there.
Quinn and I were talking about it. You need to display it on top of a mirror.
Yeah, that'd be the only other way to do it.
Oh, very cool.
But we didn't even take it home. It's still in Florida.
Okay. So what's the plan?
Well, you know, we're going back down during Mardi Gras, and we're driving.
Oh, okay. There you go. Perfect.
So what we did was we let Heidi and Frank picked it up for us, our friends that live in Florida.
They're picture-sitting.
Their pictures. They were at the parks with us that day, so we had to sit to the front of the park. I didn't want to wait to buy it because he was there to personalize it and all that, and it made it special, so...
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's very, very cool. That's definitely one of those lifelong memory type of souvenirs.
Yeah.
And even more so because you literally talked about it the week before that. So very, very cool. Nice. It
probably had something to do with me making the decision to make the purchase.
Sure. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I love the whole idea of being a limited edition, though. You literally know there's only going to be 95 of those out there.
And I was just thinking as we were talking about that, maybe I could take the picture, because I have a picture of me and Kevin John holding the picture front and back.
Right.
Maybe I could take the picture of me and him holding it with the back showing and frame that and hang it above the...
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, definitely. Nice. That's a great idea. That's a good picture of it, too, though. I remember seeing that. So, awesome. Morgan, how about you? Did you hit the festival at all?
I did. That was actually one of the reasons that I went. I did not get to experience the arts festival the last 2 years, so this is my first year attending it. And I tell you what, I don't want to miss another year.
Oh, awesome. What really stood out for you?
I think all of us as Disney nerds appreciate the Disney art. And when you walk around Epcot during the Festival of the Arts, you have, I mean, pretty much every artist that is active in the Disney arts world, you have their work at your fingertips. So it is basically walking around Epcot as an art gallery. You get to see all these artists that you might not have known about, of course, your favorites, and it's just an amazing experience. I would not want to miss it any other year. I took my mom and actually had a friend of mine with me as well. Mom ended up buying two prints. We're not on Jimmy's level yet of buying the limited edition stuff. You know, we got to work our way up.
Right.
But
did I tell you my electricity is getting turned off next month? I'm going to go with no electricity next month to pay for that.
Jimmy's going Amish. He's going to, you know, go do everything by candlelight, you know.
You got to keep that money going toward the Disney fund.
Exactly.
Sacrifices we make for Disney.
But yeah, I'm still on the print level of buying everything. So Mom bought two prints. And she even spoiled me a little bit and bought me a print as well.
Nice.
So well, we got well, to what one add did some you new get? Art to the family collection.
Right. Keep in mind, I was staying at Art of Animation and not the Contemporary, so.
True, but you weren't there for work.
Exactly.
What was the one that you got?
I actually, I did not buy anything by Kevin John. I already have a piece of his work. There is an actual, a really nice artist called Heather Thurer, and I'm probably completely mispronouncing her last name, T-H-E-U-R-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah. And her work is a little bit more realistic as far as, like, she takes the beloved Disney characters and instead of drawing the animated or the cartoonish version of them that we all know and love, she basically creates a realistic, if this character created in real life, version. My mom bought one print that is actually, it's called The Mad Elephant. It is a famous scene from Dumbo that we all know where Mama Jumbo is sticking her trunk out with the cage to give Dumbo a hug, and after she's been caged up,
mm-hmm.
My mom fell in love with that piece, and she got me by the same artist. It's called "We're All Mad Here." It's an Alice in Wonderland print. I've always been in love with Alice in Wonderland, and this print's kind of cool because you look at it and you actually can't tell which way is up, which, you know, with Alice in Wonderland, when can you ever tell which way is up? You've got Alice on one end. You don't know if she's laying down, if she's falling, if she's standing, sitting, what. And then the other side, you've got the Mad Hatter. You've got the March Hare. And through all of it, you've got playing cards, you've got these little Easter eggs of all these different little things from the movie. And then we got to meet the artist, and she explained that there were also Easter eggs from other Disney movies in this piece of art. So me and my friend were actually staring at it, and then my mom was like, we're just buying you this print. So
nice.
I ended up taking it home, and then my mom also got another print by, I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name. I want to say he's got one of the one word names. Noah.
Noah. Yeah.
Yep. She got, and it's actually one of the featured prints on the website when you go through looking at the arts festival. It's a picture of a little girl holding a pink balloon, and my mom looked at it and said, "It's you. I have to buy this print."
Very cool.
We've got all of our prints signed by the artists. That's another thing that's so great about the Arts Festival is you get to meet the artists that create these works of art that you fall in love with. So.
Nice. You guys sound like you had a really good experience with the canvas artists. Did you have a chance to do anything else at the International Festival of the Arts?
We did get to eat some places. They had some really good food there. Obviously, we had lots of adult drinks. It was an adult trip. So another cool thing that they've had every year are these photo opportunities. So they'll have this big, basically, box, and behind it is like George Washington crossing the Delaware, and then everybody gets in the box and kind of poses with George Washington crossing the Delaware, and different famous pieces of art that you can get into and be part of. You and some of them are big enough that everybody climbs in together. So it's a blast.
Nice.
I got to do that too. I like doing. They had two different pieces of art together: the Scream and the Mona Lisa. So you can switch with your friend. You know, one of you does the Scream, one of you does Mona Lisa, then swap it out. I saw Jimmy did that. I did that as well with my friend. So that was that. I really like that photo opportunity.
Nice. And you said they had a number of those?
Yeah, there's probably about 5 or 6 of them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one in every single country, but, I mean, there's a decent amount. Some of them have a photo pass photographer. Some of them don't.
Right.
It's a cool experience.
He just triggered a memory a little bit. Didn't they do that with who was it in Tomorrowland last summer, where they had like 5 or 6 different photo opportunities where there were little vignettes set up where you could just jump into it like the characters were with you?
Incredible.
For the Incredible Summer.
Right, yep. It was either Incredibles or Monsters U, but definitely something in that kind of vein. Well, very cool. I'm glad they keep on doing that. Anything with the singing, Broadway, songs, bands, concerts, anything like that?
Yeah, I did a live stream. God, I can't remember their names. His last name was Blanchard. I can't remember, and they're married. But yeah, every night. And they expanded that. This year they expanded. It used to be just on the weekends they did the Broadway. The Broadway singers, but they expanded that to every night. And they do the 3 shows, just like they do for Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
And Flower and Garden. So it's like a 5, 6:45 and an 8 o'clock or something like that.
As they do for the other festivals.
Yeah. So, it's amazing. They're pretty freaking entertaining. I'm saying, cause they all sing very like beautifully.
Right.
I listened to them from afar. I didn't actually sit down and watch them. I was more into the actual art of it. I got to do a seminar, which was cool. They had some free seminars and some paid seminars.
Mm-hmm.
I also got to actually watch a piece of art be made by one of the Disney artists named Trevor Carlton, which I recorded and I posted on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He called it his Vintage Mini. And actually got to sit there, well, not sit there, stand there, and watch him from blank, pretty much a blank canvas to finished product. Watching him create the piece of art was just a cool experience.
Nice. Now, I don't want to let this slip away, but you mentioned you attended a seminar?
I did attend a seminar. So pretty much every single day they have a free seminar. They do also have the paid ones, and they even had seminars with actual artists. I, of course, did the free one, trying to save a little bit of money. You know, contemporary can't pay for itself. I actually planned on going to 3 different seminars. but different things like baggage check at Epcot taking 30 minutes, monorail not working at Contemporary cost me two of my seminars.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, yeah. So I got to do one last Friday, which I did record. I'm going to piece together and get up on our Facebook page and maybe even our YouTube page. It was a seminar called Eat Like Walt. So basically, there
macaroni
is
and cheese
this
and chili, right?
And yep. So there is. I'm going to pull up the author's name.
I like chili.
Who doesn't like chili? Come on. So there, an author named Marcy Smothers wrote a book called Eat Like Walt, and it was really cool to listen to her because she got to go into the Disney archives and really research how Walt ate, basically. You know, what was served at the family table in the Disney home, what their housekeeper made. She even had a picture of a note written by Walt Disney himself to their housekeeper that said, you know, these are the dishes that I like, and you know, this is kind of what he expected as far as dinner prepared. She even had cool stories. She had a picture of Walt's office in California, and there is a bell on there that's actually a Coast Guard bell that he was gifted. And one day, you know, Walt was very kind of into his routine, and about 12:30 every single day, Walt would go and do lunch. Well, he got sidetracked with something, so one of his secretaries comes in and rings the bell, kind of, you know, alerts Walt, you know, hey, it's 12:30, it's time for lunch. And ever since she did it that one time, Walt expected one of the secretaries to do that no matter what was going on, no matter what the meeting was, no matter what. At 12:30, a secretary needed to come in because he liked that show, that ceremony of somebody coming and ringing that bell at 12:30 for lunch. So to hear these stories and see basically this man that created this world that we all know and love, his eating habits, it just was really cool to hear that. So that was a cool seminar to experience.
Yeah, no, definitely got to check that out if I ever get down there for this. Sounds like a really good time.
And like I said, I did record it. I recorded it on my phone, and my phone rang halfway through the seminar, so I've got to piece it together. That's why I didn't get it posted, but I will get it pieced together and up on our Facebook and probably our YouTube page as well, so everybody gets to hear all these cool stories I got to hear.
Awesome. Being the Disney nerd I am, at one point, probably about 5-6 years ago, I came across an article from a 1940s magazine where it was Walt's quote-unquote favorite meals, and one of them was a recipe for macaroni and cheese, so we threw it together. It was really good.
Yeah, and that's what she was telling us, Marcy Smothers, like I said, the author of Eat Like Walt, is he was a simple man. One of the first pictures that she shows during the seminar is a picture of Walt with one of his daughters eating a hamburger. And she said, the Disney nerd in me didn't pay attention to what they might have been conversing about or doing. She zoomed in on the hamburger. Did it have ketchup? Did it have mustard? You know, like, and Walt was a very basic man. He plain hamburger, black coffee, like very simple eats.
Oh, very awesome. So anything else at the festival stick out, guys, before we move on?
So I did get an opportunity, and it's funny. As many times, and I think have both of you met Les in the past?
I know more than
Les. I think so.
He's the bartender at All-Star Movies.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
My favorite bartender. So we were in Epcot hanging out, and I mean, he knows like my kids on a first-name basis.
Oh, very cool.
We've just been going there. We've gone to the movies so many times, and he's kind of watched them grow up. So we happen to be in Epcot, and I turn around, and he's pushing the stroller with his kids and his wife and his parents. So we get to run into Les in the parks and get a picture with him and chat with him and meet his wife and his kids and his parents. And so that was that was pretty awesome. You know, you make those connections in Disney, and you know, you see them when they're at work, but to get there and connect with them while we're out there hanging out, it was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that's got to be so different too, because it's not like he's working and you're buying stuff from him. You know, it's more like he can hang out. So that must have been really fun.
Yeah, we stood out in front of China probably for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, just chatting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. It also gives us little validity if the employees are going to the parks also. It can't be all bad.
Oh no, Dave was doing all he was actually staying at Art Animation. Like, they were doing a whole staycation thing. It was, I think he was telling me it was a Christmas gift for his parents.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Check his parents out, and they were going to dinner, had the kids with them, so it was a good time. And at that time, Heidi and Frank was with us, and you know, they've hung out with Les before too, so everybody, he's like you know, everybody's favorite bartender, so when we all notice him, it's like, oh, Les. He's like semi-celebrity, you know?
Right. Oh, very cool. Okay, so I tell you what, it sounds like you guys spent a lot of time at Epcot. What else did you do down at Walt Disney World this year? What for this trip, what stood out?
Me and Kim did a little more sit-down dining than we normally do. We ate at Skipper Canteen, which is I've done many times before. Still mm-hmm. just as good as every time. It was really good. We ate at the Polite Pig, which is the second time I've eaten there. It's pretty amazing if you've never been, if you like barbecue.
Oh, right. I love that place.
Right. Yeah, Rachel had a great, great review on the blog maybe about a month or two ago. So I definitely have that on my list to get there.
Me and Ian got we split the, I think it's called the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically got two like coleslaws and two muffins, like cornbread muffins. And then it's got chicken, brisket, pork. It's got a little bit of everything on it, and then you pick two sides. The baked beans was probably my favorite. It has burnt ends in it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And then also we ate at Terralina.
Where's that?
It's next to Paddlefish. It used to be Portobello.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's an Italian restaurant. It was mm-hmm. very, very good. We got a antipasta tower. It was ridiculous. And then I had a shrimp and pasta. It was like a light sauce, and Kim got ravioli. Everything we had there was really, really good.
Awesome. How about you, Morgan? Did you do any of the restauranteering this time around?
I didn't do as much. I usually do try to do some table service. I didn't do as much this time. My first night there, we did a Springs day because I got there about 2:00. Me and my mom and my friend did get to do Maria and Enzo's. So that is one of the new Italian places at Springs. I was not impressed.
No, really?
No. I mean, it was a very Americanized version of Italian. Which, you know, some people like, some people don't, you know, but I feel like if you want probably more of an authentic Italian, you probably want to go like where you went to Terralina. But yeah, now inside Maria and Enzo's, beautiful. They've got this whole, you know, kind of 40s, 30s transatlantic travel vibe to it. So I mean, the decor and the environment is very nice. The wait staff was great. You know, we had a great experience. Just the food, I was like, I don't know if I'd go again.
It's interesting because I didn't know that was a, I mean, I guess I did know it was a thing, but you know, you said American Italian, and I had just had a conversation, well, I read a conversation and commented on it's probably in the Disney Nerds group. If not, it was in one of the other groups. And somebody was asking about Mama Melrose, and I commented that I love it. But a comment a few after mine said, I don't care for California Italian. And I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. I mean, that's the story of the restaurant is, you know, Mama Melrose, she was feeding basically the starving actors, you know, the people who barely would get any work, and that's where they would go. And she would feed them, and then eventually she opened a restaurant.
But here's the funny thing, though, is I've had Mama Melrose. I've had it with you, Jimmy. I liked it better than I liked Marie and Enzo's.
I love Mama Melrose, so maybe I like California Italian. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, if I wanted the same kind of Italian food that I had at Marie and Enzo's, I would put it on par with like an Olive Garden.
See, and some people said that about Mama Melrose, and I'm like, I think, and I like Olive Garden, but I thought Mama Melrose was a little bit of a step above that.
Yeah, which that would be my opinion too. So I mean, that just kind of goes to show you that Disney as a whole, they've got to feed so many different palates.
Sure.
So, you know, there's probably somebody listening right now that is probably saying that I am crazy for not liking Marie and Enzo's, and it's the best place they've ever been to. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. And just my personal opinion is I'm probably not going to go there again. I'll go to any other place.
I think another thing you have to consider, and Ed probably can talk to this better than I can because he comes from, you know, an Italian background. But Italian food can change very, very much too, just on based upon where in Italy it's from. You know, Northern Italian food is very, very different than, you know, Southern Italian food.
Right. Well, I was thinking more, even the neighborhoods are so much different between like a Philadelphia and New York. The different types of food you can get there are so different. An example would be pizzas around the country, right? Chicago pizza, New York pizza, LA pizza with all the, like the fresh stuff on it. So, yeah, I mean, you like your type of food, and Italian food has a lot of variations, so that makes sense. You're going to like this one over that one.
Right? Like Tuscan food is very different than...
Oh, sure. Between all the heavy sauces to the very fresh vegetables and things like that to the pastas. Yeah, definitely. The fish on the coast is always, you know, that stands out in those cities. But it is just basic variety. You can have a tomato sauce that's made two blocks over that tastes totally different, and you're either going to like it or you're not. It's just the way it is.
Exactly, yeah.
But I tell you what, as far as Italian restaurants go, I haven't done a lot down at Disney World. I've just had so many other restaurants to choose from, and as Jimmy pointed out with the background, I've had my share of Italian food over my life. But eventually...
It seems like they have so many more like Mexican and Italian restaurants than anything else.
Right. True. I mean, there's not too many German restaurants outside of Germany at Epcot, right?
Right. Italian restaurants, you've got Mama Melrose, you've got Tony's, mm-hmm. you got Spirulina, you got Maria and Enzo's, you've got Enzo's Hideaway, you've got
the Epcot ones.
I'm sure I'm missing, you know, I'm sure I'm missing some. I'm sure there's more Italian restaurants than that.
Mm-hmm. Right, because, I mean, even just in Italy, in the Italy pavilion, you got two restaurants, plus you've got the pizza window.
Yeah, three.
Sure, and I'm sure there's a couple Italian ones hidden in one of the resorts. A couple of the resorts around, too. No doubt. That's, again, food that people really, really like, so why not have that many restaurants for it?
It has a broad appeal. I think that's the biggest thing, right?
Sure. I tell you what. One of the things that stood out with the Kevin John interview from last week was that Disney has a method to their means. One of the things he talked about was even just in retail, they have room for stuff in the store based on shelves and wall space that they have to be insured that it's going to sell enough to make it worth the while to actually advertise it or display it. The same's got to be true restaurant-wise, too. I mean, if people are going to like Italian food, we're going to have 8 or 9 Italian restaurants, and they're going to love it. It's what the people want, how they make the money.
There is the one at the Boardwalk, too. What's that one, Morgan?
That one I'm going to have to look up because I haven't been there. It used to be a Greek restaurant. Kat Kor used to... that used to be her restaurant, and now it's an Italian restaurant, which, me being Greek, I was like, why are they getting rid of the one Greek restaurant? But
it's connected to Abracadabra on one side, and Flying Fish is connected to Abracadabra on the other side. We actually went in there and looked around. It wasn't open yet, but we kind of just went and peeked inside, and it's a beautiful place.
Oh, well, how can it not be where it is?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what Disney did. They never made a restaurant that didn't look good. you know, so.
Hey, I mean, yeah.
Well, now I'm actually thinking about that. I guess you're right. True. Well, you have to. Anything they open up looks awesome. It just depends how well it lasts.
Yeah.
Or how well it ages. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. How about attractions? Did we hit anything new? Has any changes happened since last time we were down?
I probably did less attractions on this trip than I've done on any other trip. Well, and we did some attractions, but don't get me wrong, but not that, I mean, we focused a lot of time on the festival, and we spent our fair amount of time at Springs. We did Trader Sam's. We went and see Yeehaw, but well, me and Kim and Ian and Michelle were at Trader Sam's. Ian and Michelle were leaving because they had a reservation at the Swan and Dolphin. That night was either Shula's or Blue Zoo. But Chris Hiller and his wife, Stephanie, met us at Trader Sam's and took their seats because it was full, but they let us just swap the people that were in the and then we were just sitting there having a drink and we were talking, and I was like, man, I wonder if Bob's playing tonight. And Chris Hiller's like, I've never seen him. I'm like, let's go.
Oh, yeah, you have to go then. Shit.
And we got a pretty good seat, and he loved it. I think everybody had a good time. We were drinking Purple Hazes.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite beers.
Just the thing to drink. I think that's where I introduced Ed and Sam and Jennifer to Purple Haze, was that the first time we met, huh, Ed?
Yeah.
The first time we met in person.
Yep, no doubt.
So we stayed there and we watched all of the first set. And then we headed back to Art of Animation and hung out at the pool bar a little bit and then went and grabbed something to eat in the food court.
You brought up a good point, too, as far as the pool and all that. How was the weather?
Cold.
Well, the first day I got there, which was Friday, I was in shorts.
Oh, okay.
I think every other day I was in a pullover or something warm because they had a cold front pass through that night. And it got colder as we were there. So one of the days it was really cold. The following day, I thought it was going to be colder than it was and had to pull clothes off, basically.
Right.
But so a little bit of everything other than rain. We didn't get rain the whole time we were there. I do think there was some rain like overnight, but we didn't. It did not affect us one bit. No rain.
Classic Disney rain, only at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. Cause like I said, Jimmy left Tuesday. I was there through Saturday. You know, I'm used to, you know, being able to walk around with a short sleeve shirt and be fine, but definitely had to pull out the jackets at night. I was double layering jackets. Luckily I brought more than one light jacket and was double layering to keep warm.
Right, you don't want to make an unexpected sweatshirt purchase.
No, because, hey, those Spirit jerseys are $64, and there's no way they're getting that money out of me.
I ended up buying a... I had on me a... We went to the studios, and I had on a Disney pullover sweater, like a hoodie, that I had bought there a couple years ago. Because we went and I needed to buy it because I got cold. And this time I was too warm with it. So I ended up buying a nut, like almost like a, it was a hoodie, but more of like a t-shirt material hoodie, like a long sleeve, like shirt that had a hoodie on it. Right. I ended up buying one of those because I was too hot.
I'm all about the layers. I mean, Jimmy's made comments about my bag that I carry into the parks before, and I made sure that if it was going to get colder, if I was going to be out at night, there was a thin jacket, like a hoodie, in my bag, and there was still a jacket on my person. So I had that double layer if I needed it. And like I said, there were some nights I needed it.
Nice.
There's probably military rucksacks that weigh less than Morgan's actually carries in the park.
Hey, okay, but for the record, it's camera stuff. It's the tripod. It's the camera. It's the lenses. It's not just...
I sure. wasn't criticizing. I was just
stating
back. Yeah, I was just stating. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
Be prepared.
I'm just making sure that the listeners know that it's not just, oh, I'm just throwing everything in my bag. No, I got camera equipment in that bag.
Which you happen to use as a bag for other stuff, which is cool.
Exactly, because if I'm already got to carry that bag, and I know, okay, I'm going to need a couple other things, you know, water bottle, jacket.
Is borrow somebody's kid to take to Disney so you won't look weird pushing her in a stroller, and then you can just throw all the stuff in the stroller.
Actually, one thing that's kind of funny, so when I travel with my mom and she's in the parks, she has an ECV.
Yeah.
I utilize that ECV.
Get a trailer.
Me and Sam were just talking about that the other day, that I said, because we were talking about equipment, and we were talking about your live stream of Festival of Fantasy, and I was telling Sam, I said, I've seen Morgan's tripod, it's ridiculous, like it's a heavy-duty, like expensive, nice tripod. I said, it makes you miss it. I said, Sam, and he was telling me that he carries a lot of stuff too. I said, I bet it makes you miss the days you had to get a stroller. And he goes, oh yeah.
Oh, sure. It was like one of the saddest days when we stopped using the stroller. I thought it was going to be the freedom type of thing. But no, it wasn't, because you had nothing to carry all the crap anymore. You had to start putting it on your back.
Yeah, you know, you had to carry all this crap. You had a place to push it around.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, guys, now, from this trip down there, this past trip, what was a lesson learned? Anything new pop up that were like, oh, snap, I should have done that all this time?
I don't know if I had any lessons learned, but, I mean, I can tell you one thing. Jimmy just mentioned I live streamed Festival of Fantasy, and honestly, I actually was not planning on taking my tripod that day. And I'm glad I did, because anybody that watched that live stream got to see Maleficent's return. And if I didn't have my tripod that day, that would have not have been
tough to do it.
Now, I tell you what.
That would have been hard to do.
I saw the WDW blog, the Walt Disney blog, of their version of the live stream of that, too. And they had to be sitting right next to you, or standing right next to you.
Sam told me the same thing. The Parks blog?
Yep.
They had to be very close to you.
I mean, there were five or six photographers around me from where I set up, and I got there probably 45 minutes before the parade started. And of course, you know, parade starts at 3, but it doesn't get to the hub at 3. It takes a little while.
So which hub were you on? You were on the hub with the flag or hub with Walt and Mickey?
I was at the castle hub with Walt and Mickey. I was looking down Liberty Square. I have live streamed for us before the festival from that vantage point. And that is actually so far, because, you know, things always change. So far, that is my favorite spot to catch the parade, because you've got them coming straight towards you. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got them turning. And I've gotten some great stills with the castle as a backdrop and kind of like a profile view of characters. So I have to admit, and, you know, we always joke that we don't like letting our secrets out, but that's a good spot to catch the parade if anybody's looking for a good spot.
Okay. Yeah, definitely sounds like somewhere to look for. Definitely sounds like a good spot to look for. Jimmy, how about you? Any lessons learned?
Yeah, don't waste your time. Go and watch the damn NFC Championship game at ESPN Bar.
Yeah, it's always bad if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to be.
The good news is I was in a room full of Saints fans, so, like, the Saints fans outnumbered any other fans probably 10 to 1.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you saying you didn't like it because of the result or just the crowd?
No, the whole thing was great, actually. It was a lot of fun. I wish the result would have been different, but it was actually a very good day.
Do they do anything special in the ESPN bar for like a playoff game of that caliber?
They had ex-players and coaches like sitting on the stage, and they interview people in the audience. It's like a whole they're like interviewing people and putting it on the big screen, and yeah.
That almost could be like a destination too, if you think about it, as far as let's go to the parks playoff weekend. We're going to definitely see some players, and then we'll be able to go, like, you know, get on the attractions afterwards.
You know, the only one I remember, like, Brett Maxey, who played for the Saints, he was up there. He's sitting up the thing, and they get the guy talking to him, and there's another guy, and then the guy walks around with the microphone, and he's interviewing people. He got camera guys all over. There's, like, a booth. It's like a whole production.
Nice. I mean, that's how it should be. That's great.
Well, you also got to remember that we were, both of us were there around the time of the Pro Bowl, which Disney was doing stuff for the Pro Bowl. So that also probably had something to do with who was there and why.
Very they asked Heidi some questions and stuff like that. And if they ask you some questions, they give you an ESPN zone, ESPN zone bar, whatever it is, t-shirt.
I answered some questions and all I got was this lousy t-shirt kind of deal.
Yeah. But it was cool. The whole experience was really great. The results sucked, but the experience was great.
Awesome. I tell you what, being there, we were there for a Super Bowl weekend, and the resorts definitely kind of piled on with everything they could, too. They had TVs at every resort to watch the Super Bowl on, along with the bars at the resorts, too. The blow-up TVs, that was like the first year they made their appearance. This is like 4 or 5 years ago now, the big screens. Disney definitely takes advantage of these sports events and big holiday weekends.
I've never been for a Super Bowl. I have been there for a college national championship, and that was the first time I've stayed at Pop, and it was USC in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Colt McCoy was playing for Texas, I believe. And that was the first time we stayed at Pop. That had to be in like 2007, maybe 2006. But that's when they still had the inside bar at Pop Century.
Oh, okay. Right.
Most people don't remember that.
Yeah.
They had the pool bar, but then inside on the left of the food court, they also had a bar that you could go sit. And I remember they closed the bar at midnight, and the game was not over.
Wasn't it just like a window on the inside to the outside bar? Like, that's how the bar was?
That's how they are at sports.
Wow, gotcha. That's what I'm thinking.
You got to remember, at Pop, the bar is not connected to the building. Mm-hmm. It's down out by the pool.
That's right. You're right.
So when you walked in the Pop through the store, and you went through the store, if you went straight, you went to the food court. The little sweet counter was on the corner, but to the left of that, they had a full-service bar right there. Mm-hmm. And some tables. You know, I think they converted it to package pickup. I hadn't been to Pop in a while, but they had a whole bar.
Yeah. The changes.
Now they make you sit outside if you want a drink.
Yep. So, do you guys have anything planned coming up, or is this it for a while?
I'll be back down in 33 days.
Okay, well, that makes you not getting on a lot of rides make more sense now.
No, that's true, because the trip we have coming up in 33 days, right, is more of our family vacation. Like, this past trip was me and Kem and our friends Ian and Michelle, and it was more of an adult trip, and we met some friends down there. But it was definitely more like
adult equals boozing.
Yeah, well, it was all about the arts festival and that sort of thing. You know, it wasn't, and we still did we still did our fair amount of attractions, don't get me wrong, but.
Oh, sure, how can you not?
And we did a tour. We did the Marceline Magic Kingdom tour. Third time I've done it, people are like, oh, you did it three times. I'm like, every time it's been a little bit different, and every time I've brought somebody out, like I've done it with somebody else.
Right. That's what's kind of cool about them not having specific scripts, I think. I think each of the guide, or the tour guides, they have their own kind of spin on the tour itself. So you do usually get something different. Yeah, we did the keys that way.
Yep, so we really enjoyed that. And then the trip I have coming up, you know, is more of our family vacation. Me and Kim and the kids, and my cousin Christy and her husband Steve and their three kids. And this is more of a family vacation. It's going to be more centered around the kids with more attractions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. How about you, Morgan?
I am going in 60 something days.
I'm sorry I asked. from both of you.
Yeah, I'm going first weekend in April. I will be doing the Star Wars 5K.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good luck with that.
Yep.
That'll be fun. Awesome. Okay, guys. So that's it for this show of Trip Reports. I hope you got some good news. I hope you're getting ready for a trip coming up. do me a favor, actually. Why don't you send us an email? Let us know what you're going to be doing. When's the next time you're going to be in the parks? What are you looking forward to seeing? Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
And if you're looking to book a trip, this is Jimmy. Contact me, Once Upon a Time Travel. You can find me on Facebook or just message the show. I'll be happy to help you plan. We are a fee-free agency, and we'd be happy to help you plan and book your trip.
Okay, very cool. It's kind of nice booking with Jimmy because if there are any problems, he definitely takes care of it for you.
I try my best for sure.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 272, our trip reports. Thanks for listening. For Jimmy, Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kwaharini.
Have a great night. Hakuna Matata.
Tsivako.
Tsivako. And then when we left Epcot, we picked it up and took it home. And we'll get it in March. But
okay, cool. We're out.